This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is part three of a four-part series with Warner Braun, the president of the Carpet and Rug Institute, the CRI. This was a conversation we recorded while at the association's annual meeting in Dalton, Georgia.
So then what this will result in, just so I understand, just for example, there will be a part in this standard that will say the way that a seam should be done with certain types of products and things of that nature.
Well, it will definitely get down into the weeds because obviously, you know, those are where the issues evolve. You know, there are maybe any number of ways that people are doing seams for a particular type of carpet today. Hopefully we can standardize that and standardize it on best practices.
And the bottom line being that the consumer, be they residential or commercial, will end up being happier and as a result buy more carpet.
That is the ultimate goal. We want to have a more satisfied customer. In our particular case, we hope that translates to more carpet sales.
Warner, one thing that we rarely talk about when we have you on Floor Radio is the efforts that the organization makes in the area of legislation. I know that you represented in Washington, and just bring us up to date on the activities there. I know that was discussed at the CRI annual meeting.
Well, as you know, we have a two-person effort in that area. Frank Hurd monitors the federal legislative horizons, and Jennifer Mendez is primarily responsible for all the various states. And our goal in the Government Issues Committee is zero negative legislation coming out of the state or federal level. And I'm happy to report that, again, we've been successful in that area. It does not mean that legislation negative to carpet is never put forward. There are many, many examples of where people, well-intentioned probably, have tabled legislation in various states that would really be adverse to us. But we've been able to do a very good job through the work of Frank and Jennifer to educate people because ultimately, these negative proposals, bills, are really based on a lot of myths and misunderstanding about soft floor covering. You know, we see, for example, bills in various states to eliminate carpet from schools, based again on numerous myths, myths such as, you know, the one that we talked about at the annual meeting again, that carpet can't be cleaned and maintained. The myth that carpet exacerbates asthma and allergy. The myth that carpet is the source of VOCs and related health issues because of that. We know that that's all incorrect, and we have good science that backs up our assertions. So what Jennifer and Frank do, and they work very hard at it, is to get our information into the hands primarily of the person that is drafting the bill to see that, you know, they have the best information. And oftentimes we're able to educate them to the point where the bill is withdrawn. If we're unsuccessful in that, then we work with other members of the legislative body and oftentimes with the governor's office to make sure that they understand that the bill is being proposed is not in the best interest of their state.
Is there usually some kind of ulterior motive if a school system in some faraway state decides that a problem is based in the carpet? Does that come from just urban myths, as you've talked about, or is it somebody that's in the hard surface business or a combination of those?
I would say that in the vast, vast majority of cases, these well-intentioned bills or proposed legislation is based on misunderstanding. It's very, very rare when we find that there are people in other types of floor covering that are behind these pieces of legislation. In fact, as I was thinking about your question, I can't even come up with one example of where that's happened. And by the way, you know, I mean, I have met with various trade associations from other floor covering, and we have all pledged to one another that we are not going to use environmental health and safety issues to promote our type of floor covering over another. And I remind them of what Mr. Shaw so eloquently said, you know, as it relates to our industry, but it applies across different kinds of floor covering. you're never going to raise yourself up by pulling the other person down. And so that is really our guiding principle.
Well, in terms of your largest members, you know, they're on both sides of the street as well. So I can't see them, and you know, at least them doing that. I don't know of anybody else. I can't imagine they would either. But certainly, being both a soft and a hard surface company, there's no future in that.
Well, the future is really getting the very best information into the hands of the consumer so they can make a well-educated choice of what kind of floor covering they put down. And in our case, we, of course, hope that that's soft.
I guess what I want to know is, how do you find out about these various states and cities and, you know, far-off places? And I'm wondering if carpet becomes an issue in some type of state legislative action or in a city or whatnot, is the CRI the first person that they call, or is it somewhere on the list of people that they want to touch base with before they put pen to paper?
Well, there's a number of ways that we become aware of bills that would be adverse to our industry. First of all, we have a tracking service that we use in the states. We have keywords so that we can become aware of when bills have been introduced. In addition to that, Jennifer Mendez and Frank Hurd are members of various organizations like the National Governors Association, like the Association of State Legislators, where, you know, we have you know, our feet on the ground in these organizations so that we can have an early warning for when something is being proposed. And then finally, and it really gets back to the multiplier effect, we have people, sales reps in every state in the union, and they also have their ears open. And when they hear about a bill to ban carpet in schools, you know, my phone rings off its hook, or my BlackBerry buzzes.
Let me change the subject, Warner. The CARE program, which we've talked any number of times about. We've had Bob Peoples on, who is the sustainability director here at the CRI. He is also the executive director of CARE. I suspect that this slow time that we're seeing in the floor covering business is not altogether a great time for the CARE program. Talk about the economy here, what we're seeing in this depressed time, and how that's affecting CARE.
Well, before I get into that, let me tell you something that you may not know. Within the last few months, we passed a very significant milestone with respect to CARE. We have now diverted £1 billion of carpet from landfill for other value recovery opportunities since CARE was formed. That's a pretty significant milestone. Clearly, the learning in this, however, is that this new industry of carpet recycle is not immune to the macroeconomics of our society. And clearly, as the well-documented issues with the housing industry have continued to worsen, issues have arisen. I mean, with respect to supply, for an example. In addition to that, you know, there have been situations like the recent fire, which, you know, has significantly impacted our ability to recycle nylon 6/6.
Now, that's the fire at Columbia.
That's correct. Now, you know, that will remediate itself very shortly, but clearly there are things that happen that are beyond our control, and we have to begin to realize that, you know, we will occasionally hit bumps in the road, but the good news is we continue to make progress just as we are this year. I mean, we continue, even in these hard times, to see increases in the amount of carpet that's being diverted through the CARE program.
Although carpet doesn't come out unless carpet goes in, I suppose, or some kind of floor covering comes out, and with at least the residential side of this business not being in best of times, that sort of closed or slows the whole machinery down, I suspect, doesn't it?
No, that's absolutely true. We had large expectations for what we're going to do this year, and we're going to fall short of our expectations, but we're still continuing to make progress. The amount that we're going to recycle this year is certainly up from what we did last year, and we will get through this. And when we do, we will be positioned, you know, to make bigger growth as we go forward into 2008, 2009, and beyond.
This will conclude the third part of a four-part series with Warner Braun, the president of the Carpet and Rug Institute. This is a conversation we recorded while at the association's annual meeting in Dalton, Georgia. We'll air the fourth and final part of this conversation tomorrow, and this is Floor Radio.